Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 201 of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 great co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Oh, man, not too much. It's good to be back. I don't know, it feels like we haven't been recording as much, and it's just weird, but it's good to be back on the mic, as always. Always enjoy getting to chat with you and talking some baseball. It's certainly baseball weather. It was 80 degrees here in South Carolina today, so pure baseball weather, and that's certainly fun. And yeah, season's in full swing and it's time to break it down. I'm looking forward to this episode.
Well, at least you have baseball weather. I wouldn't say I do, though. When you listen to this on Friday at night, I'll be going to my first game of the year. There was a 3-game home set to open the year because somebody thought it was a great idea to have early April baseball in Maine. But and then they were on the road for a couple of series. And I couldn't go to that first series. I said a lot of stuff going on. There wasn't really many players I wanted to see anyway. But Redding's in town, so I'm going to Mick Abel's start on Friday night. That should be pretty fun. Obviously, one of the more exciting arms in the minor leagues right now. So it'll be good to get back in the ballpark. I'll have my two kids with me for that for this one. They go to a handful of games with me every year when I can't find a sitter. But it's always good to get back in the ballpark, see some live baseball. This will be my first game. Spring training, but first minor league game, obviously, in 6-7 months. So be good to get back into my home ballpark and get some more baseball here, even if it will be like 45 degrees at first pitch.
tomorrow night. But a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. This will be a very prospect-focused episode, actually really entirely focused episodes. A couple of call-ups recently, so we'll get some deeper sleeper prospect names as well. And let's talk a lot of the trendy and noteworthy names, though. We will not talk Junior Caminero on this one, though he's the talk of the Twitter sphere right now. Everyone's blown up about Junior Caminero, but we will not talk him. But a lot of other fun names on the docket tonight. Before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please write and review. Check out my Patreon for more work from me and Chris's Substack for more work from him. We got all of our rankings over there, you know, daily write-ups, a lot of fun stuff, you know, private Discords and all that good stuff. So greatly appreciate the support on both of those platforms. And before we get into the show, we want to say a quick word about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. If you set up using the promo code Toolshed, you will receive a 100% deposit match up to $100, and that can be used for any of their fun fantasy games. You know, I've been doing a lot of player pick'ems recently. I know Chris has as well. You know, it's a lot of fun props on there, pick'ems you can do. So go check that out using that code Toolshed at play.underdogfantasy.com/P-the-toolshed. All right, let's start off with the two big promotions here. We've had a lot of fun. It's already been a really fun first, you know, 3 weeks or so of the season. Got a lot of great call-ups. Like every episode, we have a couple more, you know, big ones to talk about. These are both on the pitching side of things. And let's start with a guy that's probably, if it wasn't Junior Caminero being the talk of Twitter, probably this guy with Mason Miller making his debut yesterday with the Oakland Athletics, soon to be Las Vegas, whatever they're going to call themselves. I don't know if it'll be Athletics or whatever. Though Las Vegas Aces really, no, it's already Las Vegas Aces, but, you know, whatever. Mason Miller, 4 1/3, 2 runs, 1 walk, 5 Ks, you know, topping out at 102.5, over 100 on many, many pitches, mixing in the slider and the cutter. Obviously, this is a guy that only had 28 innings. He only faced 50 batters in the minor leagues and struck out over half of them. Obviously, the stuff is great. He's, you know, even in the small sample size, the performance has been great, and he's just nasty. So, Chris, what are your thoughts on him? This is very, again, great stuff, not a lot of track record, so kind of a interesting player to value and rank right now. But what are your thoughts, both short-term and long-term, for Mason Miller?
Yeah, I mean, I think the stuff is upper-tier pitching prospect. And, you know, I wish that I had paid a little more attention to what he did in the fall league and went ahead and had him everywhere. And I didn't. And he was popping in the fall league and he was all right in spring training and pitched a lot in the spring. But, you know, those first couple starts, he first in double A and then triple A, he was, you know, tearing it up, lighting up the radar gun and featuring that cutter. The cutter's a really good pitch. He has a slider too. I moved him up to 30th overall prospect. I put him.
Wait, say that again. What?
I have him as my 30th overall prospect. Ooh, right now.
So where does that fall within just pitching prospects?
So right now I have the first tier, which is Grayson Urie, Tiedemann, Painter. He's literally in tier two, like right in tier two with, I moved Tanner Bibee up as well. I feel like Tanner Bibee fits that tier. So Tanner Bibee, Gavin Williams, Mason Miller, Brandon Pfaadt, Taj Bradley, that range of arms. The interesting thing about pitching prospects is that you can really see what they have in one start. I'd say one start, but you can really see what they have in two starts. Let's say that. You can see the stuff. You can see how they command pitches. You can see how they sequence pitches. You can watch it. You can see the data and get a pretty good feel for what a pitcher can do. And I feel pretty confident in that after watching his double A, triple A, and then his major league start. Now, what he did in his major league start wasn't the best in the world, but it was still really, really good. He did a lot of good things. He blew the fastball by hitters. Yeah, I got a lot of comments just like, he can't command it. Like, I was putting some video out of where he was throwing some heat on the corners. I watched every pitch of the start, and for every fastball, the catcher actually set up middle-middle. So Yarsh's not going to groove his fastball middle-middle. So it's just going to go where it goes, apparently. But anyway, a side point. The stuff is just really good. I think there's going to be some command issues. There's going to be some walks. Like when you're grooving it like he is, like he's going to miss the zone some, but I think he's going to be really hard to hit. So when looking at Mason Miller's profile, like pretty all in. I am concerned because of how hard he throws, like arm injuries, shoulder injuries, like that stuff is certainly could pop up, but I'm fairly confident in what he's doing, and I think the A's are too to push him like they did. And should we say the Las Vegas A's now, because they just bought property in Las Vegas, so you know, they could be soon moving. But aside the point, yeah, Mason Miller's really good. Fastball's elite. I think the cutter's plus. I think his slider's plus as well. So I'm all in, if you couldn't tell by how high I pushed him up.
Yeah, that's right. I knew like I pushed him up too. He's in top 100 for me too. So I don't know if you were saying those names in order. So do you have him ahead of your boy Fat right now?
Yeah, I'd have him over him. Okay. It's all the same tier, but yeah
it's right. It's
Miller, Bybee, Gavin Williams, Fott, Bradley. I think they're all pretty similar. Like obviously different, but they have similar fantasy upside in different ways.
Yeah, no, that's a really fun, and I agree. I don't have him quite that high, but he's in definitely in that. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how I have the tiers right now. I'd probably say he's in tier. I mean, I call it tier three, but some people might call it tier two. So I think we have him the same tier. I think we have a little different spot in the tier, but I'm just worried again. So little track record, but the stuff is there. Like no doubt about that. You know, the fastball averaged 99.4. In that first start, you know, with a good movement profile, when he's looking, you know, getting that right up in the zone, that thing is really, really hard to hit, to pick up out of the hand. Cutter and slider as well. You know, slider at 87, cutter at 95. You know, he can miss bats with all three of those offerings, and he did really. You know, both the slider and the cutter, again, it was one start, but they both had a whiff rate above 33%, and the fastball was just really hard to, you know, make any contact on. He gave a one single off the fastball, but that was really it for that pitch and that start. And that's kind of a similar situation to what was happening in the minor leagues. Obviously, he was missing a few more bats, and he'd have like 9 Ks instead of 5 through 4 1/3. But yeah, I like Mason Miller a lot, and I echo your sentiment or what you were saying about, you know, was we were both out there, you know, AFL, and he was doing well, and I think we both saw it, but I don't think we really reacted as much as we probably should have. And obviously hindsight's 20/20 right now. I mean, easy to say now when he's doing this, but I wish we would have been saying this, you know, 6 months ago. But hey, we missed on this one. But yeah, it's very exciting profile. Obviously, at least as of now, is who knows when they'll actually be in Vegas. You know, still be a handful of years out, but he has that really spacious ballpark as well. So obviously he won't get a lot of run support because that team is terrible, and he's probably the most exciting player on that team already. But yeah, this is one, like, I forget who said it, but someone was saying, like, you know, you'd never predict another Spencer Strider, but if there was one, it could be, again, it was
Lance Brozdowski.
Thank you. I was trying to think who it was. I knew good old pal Lance Brozdowski, who was a very, very sharp, one of the, you know, most sharpest and most brightest baseball minds I've ever met. So he knows what he's talking about when it comes to baseball, especially pitching. So yeah, definitely could see a huge, huge break. Maybe not Strider level, but obviously the stuff is just absolutely insane. So really fun debut and really fun pitcher right there with Mason Miller. And the other one who was called up before our last show, but then he got sent back down, so we didn't talk about him. And now he's back up again and had a really good start here a couple days ago. That's Taj Bradley. So two starts now with Tampa Bay, 2.61 ERA in those starts. But, you know, it was really the first start was, you know, decent enough against my Red Sox, 5 innings, 3 runs, 1 walk, 8 Ks. And then he went into Cincinnati on, what day was that? That would have been Tuesday, 5 1/3, 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. You know, mixing his 4 pitches very well, 4-seamer, cutter, changeup, curveball, was missing bats, pretty high level, 44% on the change, and so far 50% on the curve. You know, he's a guy that's always kind of, at least the last year or two, he's been up there in prospect rankings and within, you know, the ranks of pitching prospects, but he doesn't get as much, I think, love as he probably should. He's not quite as buzzy as a Painter or a Yuri, but this is a guy that has pitched well everywhere he's gone. every level. He's still only 22 years old, obviously, in maybe the best organization for pitching development. It's probably either them, Cleveland, Milwaukee, or the Dodgers. Like, those are like the Mount Rushmore. So, you know, we've seen all these arms Tampa Bay's developed, and Bradley, I think, is going to be, maybe he's not a frontline guy, but maybe he's number two. Like, I think there's, you know, really good bat missing stuff here. Make a 27, 28% K rate guy. He's shown that he can keep the walk rate in check too, limit the damage done against him. You know, two starts, but 1.57 xERA. I'm really excited. I don't know how many innings he'll get this year, but I am very excited about Taj Bradley.
Yeah, he's performed well. At the first start, I think he didn't locate the pitches as well as you would have liked, and he missed a lot up with the four-seamer. He got away with some bad pitches in that first start, but he was much better this time out, and I'm certainly intrigued with what we've seen from him. Obviously, it was the Reds lineup this start, not the Red Sox, but still 5 1/3, you know, no runs, one walk, 9K. So that's always encouraging when you're not walking batters, you're not allowing a ton of hits. You mentioned the arsenal looks good so far. I mean, he's pumping the fastball in, averaging near 96 on it. He's not getting hit very hard against the fastball, which is good. Overall, everything looks pretty solid, and he features a cutter, features a changeup as well. Excuse me, the changeup curve. Well-rounded arsenal, I think, and I would like to see him throw the change in the curve a little more. I mean, the four-seam and cutter combos thrown about nearly 80% of the time, but he's making it work. I think Bradley's a really solid arm. Like you said, I don't think he's an ace, but I think he has potential to be a high-end SP2 type. And this is a 22-year-old that's doing this too in the majors, and that's certainly encouraging with what we're seeing. Again, I want to see the secondaries evolve a bit. Cutter's solid pitch, obviously, but see that curveball, man. I think his curveball is pretty solid, and just want to see him throw it a bit more and kind of see what he's got in it. But, you know, the curveball is averaging 63 inches of vertical break on it. That's absolutely insane. That's, you know, about 5.5 inches more than the average. So it's a lot of drop on that pitch. And I think that just throw him more, dude. Get some chase out of the zone. Keep batters on their feet. But overall, like, I'm very intrigued with what he brings to the table.
Man, I tweeted about this. I forget what day it was, but maybe Wednesday. What would it be so exciting that if everybody in that Tampa Bay rotation could just stay healthy for like one season, where you'd have McClanahan, Glasnow, Springs, Rasmussen, Boz, Bradley be like their six. Like, there's so many good arms in that org, and obviously none of them could stay healthy. And Springs, unfortunately, is the latest one after he was rising up rankings in a hurry, and that got put to a screeching halt. But yeah, Bradley definitely. And I still think he's undervalued. Obviously, it ain't gonna be a low price tag. Obviously, he's one of the top pitching prospects in the game. The price tag will be there, but I still think it's not a bad time to buy. I think that price tag will still only go up. The value is gonna go up, and I think it's still probably not quite as high of a price tag as it probably should be. So, I like Bradley a good amount going forward. Another top pitching prospect right now who's not up within the major leagues, but off to a bit of a rocky start. That's Kyle Harrison. Still only 21 years old, which is kind of weird. I think felt like he should be at least a year or two older at this point, but been around for a bit. But first three outings in AAA, and it is the PCL. You know, take that with a grain of salt. He's gone six innings combined in those three starts, and his last outing was his best. 3 1/3, four hits, an earned run, two walks, two Ks. Before that, two innings, one run, four walks, four Ks, and then 2/3 of an inning. Now, both of these were against the El Paso Chihuahuas, which is a great team name. Two-thirds of an inning, excuse me. Three runs, four walks. Overall, 10 walks to seven strikeouts in six innings. Just not locating very well. And that's kind of why I've kind of comped him. Like, reminds me a lot of Robbie Ray. Where it's like he'll go on these stretches where he's absolutely dominant. Like, I've seen Harrison live. I saw him against Tiedemann last August. Great pitching matchup. And I saw a very weak New Hampshire lineup that was led by Aroldis Martinez. Everyone knows my thoughts on Aroldis. It was not a great lineup. Barger was there, but not in the lineup that day. So, and they were just hunting out his fastball, getting early count, hunting out those early fastballs before I get into the slider and the changeup, which are both pretty good offerings. And his fastball can be, obviously, can be, it flashes plus at times, but at the times, it's he just can't command it that well. And the movement profile isn't the greatest on that at times when he's not commanding it. So that's my worry about him. I feel like he's going to be fine long term, but he's going to be a guy that's going to be a little maddening to roster. Where it's like he'll have, you know, three starts where he's just dominant, then he'll kind of blow up your ratios another week. But I don't know. That's my thoughts on Harrison. Where are you at on him right now, Chris? Are you worried? Are you not worried? Where are you at?
Yeah, his location command of his pitches is awful. Yeah. And even in the last start that we would say was a good start, an improved start, his location was horrific. You can look at the illustrator on Savant for these games. And, dude, he left so many sliders middle-middle. And, like, up, the sinker just – the location is not good on these pitches. And, really, you're looking at pretty much just throwing sinker and slider. Not mixing – he didn't mix in the changeup much at all in his last start.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
He threw it just four times. I don't know. I'm very discouraged, I would say, because when you're failing to locate pitches like this, and it was even worse in the last start. We know he walked 4 2/3 of an inning, but I think that Kyle Harrison had the stuff to really get away with the poor command at lower levels. But now being at a higher level, it's a little bit harder for him to, you know, get away with that per se. I was looking back at the one two starts ago when he walked those four batters, and I thought his pitch location was a little better for that. At least there was nothing middle-middle. He had a ton of pitches middle-middle against Reno, and I'm surprised they didn't jump all over him because it's not bad lineup there, but he somehow skated away with, you know, 3 1/3 and just one earned, four hits, two walks. But overall, it's like, I don't know. I'm thinking I went too high on him, and that wasn't right of me to push him as high as I did into tier two of the pitching prospects just because of the stuff. Because he's not missing bats. Even the last start, he had a 23% CSW, a 12% whiff rate. His slider is supposed to be his bread and butter, but he got just two whiffs, a 15% whiff rate on it. His sinker is not going to miss bats at all. And when you're throwing the slider middle-middle, I mean, what do you expect to happen? You know, for me, I think Harrison is going to be a pretty big faller. And actually, I've already moved him down. Let's see where I put him. I bumped him down to 82. I actually put him right beside Nick Abel because they're similar upside, big stuff, but you know, there's command issues. So too high on him to begin with. I apologize for pushing him as high as I did. I think I've had him 35 before. 82 is a pretty big drop, but now that I'm seeing more and more, and that's just my concern with the command, and I wish I hadn't gone that high on him, but I don't know. I just can't really buy into this, what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't think you were alone either. I know I put him up in that in the, you know, 30 to 40 range. I see other people did as well. And it's not that hard to get sucked in by the stuff, right? And I think none of us were ignoring the, you know, command and control inconsistencies that he's had, but I think we were like, all right, he'll maybe figure it out. You know, San Fran's had a pretty good track record with pitchers lately, you know, more so at the major league level, sure, but you know, I think we kind of overlooked it to a degree, and yeah, he's falling down mine as well. Right now, he's around 70 for me. But what's kind of a heat check here? Or what's the opposite of a heat check? Because he's going down. An ice check?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. Whatever. But, all right, would you rather have Harrison or – let's talk about Tink Hentz.
Still have Hentz above him. But I honestly have fears that Tink Hentz is a reliever. And, you know, he's hurt now. They try to stretch him out and go deeper, and he's hurt, which is concerning. But they've babied him for so long. I mean, I thought he would get to pitch more in the AFL, and he was one inning stint. So I still do prefer Hentz. Very athletic, good stuff, better command than Harrison, so I'll go that way.
Not to get off topic, but Hentz, I'm wondering if he's on like the same path as like Alex Reyes.
Sadly.
I hate to say it, but that's definitely a possible outcome. So I think I already know you have him ahead. What about Harrison or Bobby Miller?
Rather have Miller.
Harrison or another Miller, Bryce Miller.
Bryce.
Ooh, okay. Harrison or Owen White?
I have him right. So I have Harrison, Abel, and White. So it's Harrison I've got ahead, but it's literally right beside each other.
All right, last one. I think I know who you go. Oh, I don't know. If someone can offer you to Andrew Abbott for Harrison right now, are you taking that?
Golly, dude, I have struggled with Andrew Abbott, honestly. And everybody's like, where do you rank him now? I don't know where to put him, to be honest. We'll get that to another – I think we're going to talk about him in the next episode. Yeah. But his velo is ticked up. He's still like 92, 94. It's not like it's like blow-you-away type stuff.
Right.
I don't know. He's just pitching out of his head right now. So good. And, you know, it could sustain. We'll see. But right now, I still have to go Harrison.
Yeah, me too. And so my answers to these, I have Harrison. I am behind Hentz now, behind Miller, or behind Bobby. I still have him ahead of Bryce and Owen White barely, but that's like a massive glob. So yeah, I think I know your rankings fairly well and how you like certain players. So I had a feeling he'd be in that range for you. So yeah, definitely turning down though, and so a lot of the names are trending up, but. Though Hentz could be trending up or down. Is it possible to be trending up and down at the same time?
Yeah. So
I feel that's Tink Hentz. Like, he's obviously super exciting, but yeah, there's definitely some reliever risk there as well. We'll see. It will be very telling over the next couple of years for him. All right, moving over to the hitting side of things. A prospect that we've talked about a handful of times over the last, you know, year or so on this podcast, Emmanuel Rodriguez. I think both of us were kind of in the mindset of, he's going to be, you know, he probably could have been top 25 already if he didn't have the injury that cost him the second half of last year. And people kind of maybe forgot, but since he did all of his damage in the first half of last year, it's kind of not quite in the forefront of people's minds anymore. But this year, it's a weird year so far. He's hitting for power. Like, ISO is over 400 right now. Slug, I believe, is around under 700 right now. Entering games on Thursday, but he's striking out 50% of the time. Swinging strike rate is only 10.4%. So it's more obviously, you know, even though the walk rate has come down, I was talking about this with Welsh on Prospect One today as well, about how he is being a little bit more aggressive, but he needs to find that balance. Maybe another Trent Grisham situation. Power's there, but needs to find that balance between patience and being aggressive. I think he's struggling to find that right now, but. Are you worried at all by this, you know, the strikeout rate ballooning so far this season, Chris?
Still early. I think this brings up the question of, you know, patience versus passiveness. And I do think he's a little too passive and he just gets into too deep accounts because he's taking too many pitches. Swing rate's still really low. And that's my concern. The talent and the upside are there. And, you know, obviously injured right now, but. You know, he'll get back out there, and I think he's going to be fine. I think he will take off like we expect. I mean, we've seen some insane EVs. We've seen some, you know, monster home runs, walk-off home runs. So, yeah, while it is concerning a bit that he is, you know, striking out like he is, it's just because he's working too deep into these counts right now. And, you know, I do think that – I think he'll evolve, but – I don't know. I'm hesitant to go like super all in on him. Like I think there's top 10 upside, but the passiveness is what is hurting him.
Yeah, I'm there with you. Like, I still think that top 10 is possible. I won't be surprised if he turned it around and just went bonkers like he did last year, but especially in OBP rankings. But yeah, I'm gonna keep a really close eye on him next, a few weeks, see if this keeps going and the K rate's still 43% as we get in the first week of May. So then that I might be, I'm concerned. There's a level of concern right now, not a huge one, but it might grow bigger if this issue isn't kind of corrected over the next few weeks here. Another fun name here that is always, he was a fun name after he was drafted, which was way back in 2018, way back, as he was part of my first ever FYPD ranking. So, but Jordan Adams has been a really polarizing player, and he's really fallen off of radars over. He had a little bit of success, right before, COVID, 2019, 8 home runs, 16 steals, 257, 351 OBP between, that was mostly in low A, a little bit in rookie ball, a little bit up in high A to end the year. Lost 2020 year, came back in 2021, back in high A. He hit 217, 290, 311, 116 strikeouts in just 71 games. 2022, kind of more of the same, 238, 317, 332, 124 Ks and 120 games. Not quite as bad there, but still was running a lot, always been a great athlete, but the power just wasn't there. But now, 16 games, Salt Lake PCL, again, PCL, but he's got 9 extra base hits in 16 games, 5 of those clearing the fence, 3 steals as well, hitting only 259, but a 621 slug and a 352 ISO. Are you buying in to this at all, Chris? Or you just think this is a hot stretch and kind of product of the environment he's in?
That's my fear. He's not making great contact, surprisingly. Like, despite the good numbers, like his contact numbers just aren't there. He's zone contact of 76% and the overall contact of 66%, which is far from ideal. The power, the speed, like all that's there. That's all encouraging. His home run to fly ball rate's really inflated, 31.3%. And, I kind of fear this is a product of the environment type thing because, the numbers are there and it's like, okay, we should buy into this because of what he's doing, but he's not smoking the ball by any means. He has a average EV of 88.5 miles an hour. His 90th percentile EV is 100.4 miles an hour. Max of 103 is just not encouraging at all. Adams is, he's a very good athlete. Like, this was a kid coming out of high school that could have gone and played college football anywhere pretty much. Like, very good athlete. And I don't know. I certainly thought that he would develop better than he has. But there's just still so many contact concerns there in this profile that it's kind of leading me to just not buy into what he's done so far, especially considering he's still hitting the ball on the ground a lot, and that's an issue in of itself. When he has lifted it, it's just happened to go over the fence. So I'm not ready to buy in yet. If this does continue, then you will certainly keep an eye on it and see, but I don't know. I'm too hesitant right now with what he's doing to fully come back in on him.
Yeah, I'm definitely, at least a little intrigued just because, he's a great athlete and he's shown glimpses in the past. But yeah, I need to see longer than, 16 games after having multiple seasons of just lackluster, performance, especially in the power department. Yeah, I'm not fully buying it. I think it's just a hot streak. I'll keep an eye on it, see if it continues, and maybe it does turn into something. But right now, I need to see a lot more than just 16 games right now. All right, another AAA standout so far, but one that has had some success in the recent years, is David Hamilton from my Boston Red Sox, guy that set the organization or the minor leagues stolen base record last year for Boston, stealing 70, and then I think I saw probably 20 of those, I swear. Every game I was at, there was like one steal. But overall, 70 steals. But at the same time, obviously the speed's elite. Like, this guy could just be like a dynamite pinch runner right now. But the question has been like, where's the bat at? Because he had a okay year at the plate in 2021. He was still in the Milwaukee org then. High A, double A, 258, 341, 419, 19 doubles, 11 triples, 8 home runs, 52 steals. Last year, 251, 338, 402, so pretty close to slash line. 16 doubles, 9 triples, 12 home runs on the 70 steals. Walks a decent amount, doesn't K too much, low 20s K rate, walk rate over 10%, but, you know, I don't know. I still don't know where the bat is, even though this year he's got 3 home runs and 3 doubles in 14 games, hitting 352, 407, 611 with 8 steals. I do think it'd be fun to see him come up right now. And you know, because the Red Sox middle infield is terrible. Like it's a trio of Kike Hernandez, who I like Kike enough, I guess, but it's him, Arroyo, and Yu Chang. And I would love to see him and even like Emmanuel Valdez get some time here to see what they have in these guys. But I think if you get the call and ever gets even a semi-regular role somewhere, like this is a elite speedster, so that could have value right there. But are you buying Hamilton at all, Chris? Do you want any part of him in dynasty leagues?
He's interesting. I do think he's made some improvements, and you know, is it a small sample improvement? It's really too early to say. You know, his contact numbers have always been solid for the most part. I mean, looking at a 85% zone contact last year, overall contact of 78.3. Those are really solid numbers. This year, he's upped that a bit. His overall contact rate right now is 85%, which is really encouraging to see. And then you look at his EVs, and they've also taken a step forward. I mean, his max right now is 108.4. That's encouraging. His 90th percentile EV is 102.6. which is up from last year. It was 99.2. So that's a full 3 mile an hour jump there. I know we're looking at a smaller sample of batted ball events, but that's still pretty encouraging. His average EV last year was 83.4. This year, 89.7. And I'm hesitant because it's like, okay, he's only got 40 batted balls, but it's like, okay, there's some tangible improvements here. And it's enough where I'm like, is this legit? I don't know, but I at least want to see because the contact's so good. 93% zone contact this year. He's not striking out. He's hitting the ball harder than he ever has. And because of that, I'm intrigued. The speed's so good. Like you said, the stolen base record, like, dude, he's insane. Like what he's doing, what he did last year. And then what we're seeing so far this year, God, it makes me really want to believe and buy in. I don't want to credit it to a small sample, but I'm afraid it is. But hey, I would say add him and see where it goes because those improvements are at least notable.
Yeah. And he's shown flashes in the past. Like he got off to a really, really hot start. I think he was actually one of the hottest hitters in the minor leagues first like 2 weeks of last year. Then it did taper off pretty quick. But then I think he looked a little better end of the season. Those the middle months were just really rough. And I saw obviously a lot of David Hamilton, but I don't think the bat's ever going to stand out. Like if everything clicked, maybe he's like a 250 ish guy, maybe 8 to 10 home runs, something like that. But if he can get, 500 plus plate appearances, we're talking 30 plus steals. So, and that has value and he's played some short. He's not great there. He's played a little bit of second, a little bit of outfield as well. So he can move around a little bit. Maybe he's to be a utility type of guy. I don't know. But like I said, there's opportunities there. Story, I still don't think we even see Story. If we do, it's later in the year. I mean, if they're out of it at that point, when they're out of it at that point, I don't think there's any chance we're going to be in at that point. But they might just shut Story down, let him get healthy for 2024. And like I said, Kike, Arroyo, like these are just like bench guys. These aren't guys that are like MLB. Be starting caliber guys, and I'm not even sure Hamilton is either, but why not give him a chance, give Valdez a chance, something like that, see what they have in those guys. So the opportunity is there, and that you could have some sneaky value with that speed. You know, be a cheap speed guy, and the price tag probably isn't even that high right now in dynasty leagues. He's not ranked very highly anywhere, but yeah, I think he's a sneaky stash or a sneaky target in dynasty leagues. Matt McClain is off to a pretty good start this year as well over in Cincinnati, and he's one where I think of all the players like in the top, like I said, like 200 or so of my rankings, I think he's the one that I've moved like up and down the most over the last year and a half or so. I was taken 17th overall back in the 2021 draft out of UCLA. And while he's shown some, you know, some decent power speed in the minor leagues, contact has just been And then not too bad of a swinging strike rate, but he's had too many strikeouts. And we even saw that out in the Arizona Fall League. He had 31 Ks and 97 plate appearances, striking out only about 25% of the time this year. Four doubles, four home runs, six steals so far in 16 games. We're hitting 250 with a 382 OBP, 536 slug, 286 ISO. I know you've been a bit lower on him than I have, Chris. Are you buying back in right now, or do you still have the kind of the same concerns with him as you did, say, in the offseason?
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Well, he's another one that I feel like has made some improvements, and it's been encouraging to see what he's done. I mean, last year, he had his moments where he hit the ball hard, and he had streaks where it's like, okay, like this guy I think could really do something. But his contact was not great last year. He ran 74% zone contact. It's way too much swing and miss in the zone for my liking. 67% overall contact. That's not ideal. He hit the ball hard 31% of the time last year. So it's like, I just didn't see enough to make me actually believe. And here he is up in AAA looking much more advanced. His contact rates are up. He's making contact in the zone 83% of the time right now, which is highly encouraging. As I mentioned, that's a 10% increase from last year. His overall contact still at 71.7%. But the chase rate is manageable. He's only chasing 25% of the time, which I like to see. I don't know. I'm semi-intrigued because you look and he's hitting the ball hard still, running good hard hit rates this year. He's lifting the ball a lot. Like, that's another thing too. Like, the fly ball rate is up to 53.8% and leaving the yard a lot. He's always been a high OBP type. He's going to walk a lot. I don't know. I could be buying back into this profile because I think he's another one that's shown some changes. And I'm like, okay, while it is a small sample, like, the intangibles were there. Like, he had the tools. He just needed to put it together. And that's what he's doing.
Yeah, and I think I might have dropped him, I think, and many of us probably did too, a bit too far, because even on the K rate, it was fairly high last year. The swinging strike rate wasn't even that bad. I think last year it was like 12% or something, which is not a bad mark. So I think maybe he's another one that does walk a good amount as well, is shown a good power speed blend. We'll have, you know, Great American Ballpark to call home, whether he can, you know, he's played some short. I think he's maybe a little bit second. I got to look, obviously, some outfield as well, so see where he ends up on the diamond. They have a lot of, you know, players that play all those spots in that org. So we'll see where his ultimate home is. But yeah, I think there's a guy that could flirt with 20 home runs at GABP, 20 plus steals. And yeah, maybe he's more of an OBP asset than an average asset, but I don't think the average will kill you. Again, I think he'd be 240, 250, you know, a solid OBP, always had a pretty good walk rate. And yeah, I think he's back in my top 100. He's a back in top 100 guy for me right now, but he's back in my top 100. Where's he at for you right now, Chris?
I don't know. Like, I haven't moved his ranking. I dropped him pretty significantly, like towards like 175, but I think he's probably, I'm just looking at a range of names, and like, I'm looking at like a Bryce Terang type range around 100. Like, I think he has probably a fair spot for him.
Yeah, I think we're not too far off in that assessment. Moving up to Detroit now, and sorry, Chris and I started talking about this before we even hit record about this, the Detroit Tigers org in general, and, you know, Torque is struggling again this year. Green hasn't looked great. You know, there's been a lot of disappointment from the top ranked Tigers prospects, but hopefully this guy can maybe buck the trend, because he wasn't like a fully homegrown guy. He came over last year from Chris's Atlanta Braves. Obviously, that is Justin Henry Malloy, who we both saw out in the Arizona Fall League as well. And look, it looked pretty good. And had a nice interview over on the Palazzo podcast with Michael Govey, if you want to go check that out. But he's off to a very hot start this year as well. Only the one home run in 16 games, but hitting 370, 541, 482. Kind of a weird-looking slash line there. But with one home run and more walks than strikeouts, 18 walks to 14 Ks in 74 plate appearances. And this is at AAA Toledo. Got up there to AAA in the Atlanta org end of last year for about a week and a half or so. And looked good last year. 289, 408, 454, 17 home runs, 133 games. Do you think he's up soon, Chris? And if so, like, what type of impact do you think we can see from Malloy?
Well, he should be, because the Tigers ain't doing much else. And yeah, I think that he'd step in and be one of the better bats in the lineup pretty instantly, I think. And, you know, it was a tough trade. Like, I didn't want the Braves to trade him. They were training him to be in left field. Like, he was going to be the guy in left field. And I don't think Joe Jimenez is good, so I didn't really see a need for that trade, especially with how deep the Braves bullpen was. But I guess you never have too much depth. But regardless, that's aside the point. Malloy has a really good feel to hit. He makes good contact. He's a crazy high OBP type. The question was, like, what kind of power would he get to? We did see him hit 17 home runs last year, which was encouraging. But it was like a profile where it's like, I'm not really sure, like, he's more than a 15 home run type at the big league level. He does have an optimal amount of, like, balls in the sweet spot, so good launch angles. But he never really hit the ball that hard. I mean, he ran a 32% hard hit rate last year. His 90th percentile EV was 101.7 and an average of 86.4. So it's like, it's like fringe average power at best. Not even average, I'll say. Like, based on his age and level, like, that's below average power with what we're looking at. But he's been hitting the ball so much harder this year. His average EV is up to 92.2. And again, small sample of 38 batted balls, but that's a pretty substantial improvement that we've seen. His 90th percentile EV is up to 105.2. That was 101.7 last year. I mentioned, like, he hits consistent line drives, a lot of line drives at that. So he has a really good standard deviation launch angle, which means basically, like, he's hitting a lot of balls in a tight area, like a consistently good launch angle. He makes good contact. He has contact rates actually interesting this year. It's not that great. And he was a much better contact hitter last year. But I think where he really excels is he's not passive. He's patient, and he knows how to take a pitch. He knows how to take a walk. The swing rate's low, 35% swing rate last year, 38.3 swing rate this year or the previous year. So those are low numbers, and you'd really like to see that be a bit higher. But he doesn't chase. He's not swinging any pitches out of the zone, and he can work in two-strike counts too. So while I'm not sure Justin Henry Malloy is ever like a fantasy stud, I do think there's some factors in this profile that could lead him to be a pretty solid player overall, and one that's probably consistently underrated, but one that's just fairly good most of his career.
So I usually struggle with player comps, but and it's funny because those last kind of few things you just said describe this comp I have for Malloy to a T. I want to see what your thoughts are on this comp, because this is a guy that, you know, played for a long time. He was just a solid bat for a long time, never stood out in any in one area. But he did end his career with you guys for the last, I don't know, he was there five, six years or so, retired a few years ago. Nick Markakis.
That's interesting. He was never flashy, but that's interesting. It's an interesting statistical, like, profile comp, I think, like, of what he could be.
Yeah, Nick Markakis, you know, he topped out at 23 home runs. That was his second full year. But he's a guy that was, like, always, you know, like, look at this one stretch. Like, after, so he started off his career 16, 23, and 20, and then 18, 12, 15, 13, 10, 14, 13, 14, while hitting, you know, 270, 280, 295. Like, ended his career 288 career hitter with 14 home runs per every 162 games, but 39 doubles. So he was more of like a gap to gap type of guy. Made one all star team. And a few gold gloves, one silver slugger in 2018 with you guys. Played every game that year, too. But, yeah, I think he's a guy that's just, you know, in that solid range, you know, good average, good OBP, you know, a little bit of pop, 15 home run type. But that's about it. And but like you said, like that Detroit lineup is terrible. I mean, they're out. Who's the outfielder now? It's Green. It's Carpenter. And who else is out there right now? Pull up.
It's Badu out there right now.
Oh, yeah. But Badu. I always forget about Badu. But is he out there at all? Really? Is he really out there? I mean, physically, maybe. But let's see. Who's the other guy that's been getting starts for them? I see Green's been starting in center. I see Carpenter's been on DHing, you know, half the time, right field half the time. Yeah, Badu's been out and left. Oh, Matt Vierling. That's who I was forgetting. Matt Vierling. And he's, I don't know, he's shown some flashes, very small flashes, but probably more of a bench outfielder, fourth outfielder long term. So, yeah, I could see Malloy getting, you know, and obviously Malloy's played a little bit of third as well, where they're rolling out Nick Maton. This is not a good team. This, I don't think they want to move him back to third at all, but I definitely could see a couple of different paths to him getting in the lineup. This team is not good. And like he said, he's probably going to be one of the better players on that team right away. So kind of like a deep league, you know, for if you want to stash him in redraft leagues, it'd be much more a deeper league. But I think he still gets like a sneaky value target because he's just not a sexy profile. And those guys get undervalued a bit. So definitely he's got his, he's kind of like sticking in like the 130, 140 range, my prospect rankings. And I don't really see that changing. He's not top 100 guy, but he's solid enough to stay in that top 150 area or so. One more name here before we get into our deeper prospect sleepers. It was a much bigger name and a guy that's much higher. You'll probably cut the ranking, take 100 off of it. Jason Dominguez off to a weird start. Like I did a quick blurb about him on Thursday on my Patreon, and he's not been starting good at the plate. Like he's having a very rough year back in Double A at Somerset so far in 10 games, 44 plate appearances, 0.88, 273, 206 slash line, one home run, one double, but you know, nine walks, that's pretty solid. But what I'm really focusing on is last year he had 37 steals, and that was, you know, 36 of those were in, you know, combined low A and high A. So, you know, like, all right, single A, take it with a grain of salt. But this year he's got seven steals in 10 games, been caught once. And that's with having only a 273 OBP. So maybe speed will be, you know, maybe I was underestimating the speed. Maybe that'll be a little bit of a bigger part of his game. I'm not overly worried about the slow start at the plate. I'm really not. It's 10 games. What I'm really focusing on is that speed. So maybe he'll, again, have a bigger impact there than we anticipated, Chris.
Yeah, and a lot of people are worried about his profile in general. I'm not yet. This was a similar case last year where he started slow. He's running a very low BABIP of 100 right now. That's obviously not good. He struck out 31.8% of the time. That's a bit concerning. But again, I'm not putting a ton of stock into a 44 plate appearance sample. He's also got this weird thing where he's hitting nothing but fly balls. Like he's almost like a 60% fly ball rate, 5% line drive rate. I wonder if there's something a bit off. Like, is he hurt right now? I don't know. This seems weird to me to see this kind of thing happen where he's whiffing so much more and he's just hitting the ball sky high in the air so consistently. And, you know, I don't know. Like, that's just a random guess, but it is encouraging to still see him running. I will say that his healthy pull percentage, batted ball distribution overall. So I'm not going to drop him yet, but I do think this is something to keep an eye on just overall, like what's happening here. You know, he is just 20 years old, so he's still young for Double A. And remember, he was even set back by the COVID year. He probably would already be in Triple A, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I could see people being highly concerned about him, but I'm really not yet. Like, get me to 100 plate appearances, and if he's still here, I'm like, all right, maybe there's some issues. But overall, like, I'm not, you know, drop him significantly in my rankings right now, because I think I tweeted this out earlier today. Like, with pitching prospects, like, you can see things way quicker. Like, I can watch a start, and I think that's important. Like, I'm not just looking at numbers. Like, I'm watching the starts, and you can see, like, all right, this guy's got something. Like, there's something here. Or this guy doesn't have it. Like, Kyle Harrison, like, the command just not there. But I think with hitters, it does take a little bit larger of a sample to really form an opinion. because if we took a bad 44 plate appearance stretch for any player in baseball, like as a hitter, then, you know, we would constantly be out on guys that then take off. And if this happened during the middle of the season, we probably wouldn't think twice about it. Like if he had started hot and this stretch had happened. So yeah, I mean, give me a little bit more time on this, but right now my opinion on Jason has not really changed.
All right, let's get into some deeper prospect sleepers here to close out the show. We just got three names, and we didn't like set like a, you know, have to be outside X ranking parameter, but just guys that I don't think any of us rank super highly yet, but definitely could be ranking a lot higher as the season progresses. So three names from each of us, starting with Chris.
So my first one is Lyon Richardson with the Cincinnati Reds. This is an interesting profile. Now, Richardson has only pitched in low A this year, and it's rehab. So that's the first thing important to know is that he's been on rehab starts because he had Tommy John. And the interesting thing to me is he hadn't pitched since 2021, and it was not a great 2021 by any means, where he threw 76 innings and a 5.09 ERA, a 1.47 whip. He walked 11% of batters, and then the Reds added him to the 40-man this year, this offseason. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. Why would they do that? He hasn't pitched. He wasn't good the last time he pitched. He's come out, and there's obviously a reason that they added him back, because the stuff looks incredible right now. You know, it's only three starts, like I mentioned. It's nine innings, but he has a 1.00 ERA, a 0.67 whip, 54.5% strikeout rate, and a 3% walk rate. 27% swinging strike rate right now is absolutely insane. And again, I know it's still kind of early on him to say, to make an opinion, but again, it's like where you watch this and it's like, dude, holy cow, like this guy is doing stuff. I don't know how high we see him really soar, but dude, the velo's way up. Like fastball is gone from when he was before his Tommy John surgery, he was like 93 to 95 type. Now he's like 97, 98. It's like, whoa, like he topped 93 in 2021. And now he's like up to 98. Like, holy cow. Like, how did this all happen? And the arsenal itself has just looked really good. He's generating swings and misses with the four seam. And I get it. It's either low A hitters that he's dominating with that four seam, with the changeup. Like, he's getting a lot of whiffs with it. It looks really good too. The sinker, he's even getting whiffs with it. Like, what in the world? And he's throwing, mixing in the curve and the slider too. Like, I think he's going to have to lean a little more heavily on the curve and slider as he moves up against better hitters. But this is a case where it's like, I'm looking at the stuff and it's like, all right, like this guy is legit. Like fastball's now up to 99. It's consistently sitting 97, 98, like with really good horizontal break. I don't know. Like this is, he just has the looks of like, he came back and he's going to break out. Just looking at the fastball, I'm watching the changeup. Like the changeup's just absolutely insane, looking at the amount of horizontal and vertical drop that it gets. Like he was averaging like 36, 37 inches of drop on the changeup, and it's fading like 15 to 16 inches. Like so underrated what he's doing, but I don't know. This is a thing where in a small sample, I'm like, I think that Lyon Richardson is just a totally different pitcher than he ever was before. And now here he is, and he's fully breaking out in front of us. So I don't know how rostered he is. I'm going to pull up his roster percent on Fantrax because I'm pretty curious. But I dare say, I'm sure he's been picked up a little bit in deeper leagues, but I'd guess he's still unrostered in like 5%. He's rostered in 3% of Fantrax leagues right now. 3%. That's insane. Like I put him around 250 in my prospect rank. It's just watching him, like the stuff is just, it's too good. And I think he could be top 100 by season's end. I really do.
Yeah. And now is a good time to buy because everyone's kind of looking at obviously what Andrew Abbott's doing is, I think what Richardson's doing is kind of flying under the radar. So yeah, definitely a really good target in dynasty leagues right now. I'm going kind of, this was my last addition here to my three. I wrote up a few days ago over on my Patreon and my prospect notes that I do. And he's not off to the greatest start this year. He's hitting 184 right now, but I think there's a lot of breakout potential this year with a Nelson Rada, outfield prospect for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Again, not off to a great start at the plate. He does have 4 steals so far in 10 games, had 27 last year in the DSL. But, you know, one thing I've put more and more stock in is just listening to, obviously we don't always have sources within each team, but like just looking at what teams, like how they handle their prospects, if they're aggressive, if they're not aggressive, etc. And they had Nelson Rada just completely jump from the DSL past complex level into low A Inland Empire. Again, not off to the greatest start, but I think that actually helps, you know, buy right now, because the value is, you know, pretty low right now in terms of the trade value, the cost to acquire him. Like, he's probably less rostered on Fantrax than even Richardson is. So, but the speed is easily plus, I think, and the bat has potential. Obviously, that's kind of waiting to see where the bat kind of develops to, but this is around a plus runner. And I think, you know, he hit He hit 311 last year, 446 OBP, same amount of walks as strikeouts in the DSL. Like, seeing the approach right away was very, very good, but only has the one home run so far in 60 games and 12 doubles, 3 triples. So he's still under 20 extra base hits in 60 games. And, you know, a lot of places you look say, you know, fringe average power, but I think there's potential to add some bulk to this frame. He's also that 5'10", 160, and he looks it. And, you know, the little bit of video I have been able to find on Rada, he looks about that, but, you know, it's still a slight frame. So I do think he could add a little bit of bulk there. And if he does and improves, you know, takes a little bit of step forward at the plate, like, the potential is there with some, you know, improvements. He's only 17. I think this could be like a 50 hit, 45 to 50 power, 60 speed guy that really flies up rankings. And aggressive assignment for, again, going to the low A California league. So I think, you know, once he finds his footing there, I think we could really see him take off. And again, X factor will be the power and where that gets to. But again, we're talking like deeper leagues here. There's some upside definitely in this profile, enough to take a flyer on to see, hey, if it works. Again, we've talked about the churn and burn, the back end of your prospect pools in these deeper dynasty leagues, is to see what sticks, what doesn't. If it doesn't, move on to the next guy. And this is definitely a guy to take a flyer on. So Nelson Rada, 17-year-old center field prospect for the Angels. Who's your next guy, Chris?
Yeah, as I mentioned, you mentioned the rostership. He is rostered in 8% of Fantrax leagues. There's some hype. Okay. There was so much hype because he was so young at full season ball. So it doesn't surprise me. It was still under 10%. Like, come on. Like, I agree with you. I think that the Angels being aggressive with him speaks a lot about how they view him long term. So
yep.
That's definitely a good name. I'm going with Stanley Consuegra. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Consuegra is kind of interesting. You know, he's a bit older, which is why I'm like hesitant to go too all in on him. He's in high A. He's 22. He was in high A last year, and you know, he has some power and he has some speed, but he's never really put the hit tool together. There's still some strikeouts. Striking out 24% of the time right now, but his patient, it looks like his plate discipline has improved a bit. He's running a 14% walk rate right now, which is encouraging. Slashing 286, 400, 517. And while he hasn't stole a base yet, he does already have 3 home runs in 50 plate appearances. One of his home runs was off the bat at 115.1 miles an hour, which is elite. I think there's only been a handful of balls that have been hit that hard this season in the majors, and we saw Consuegra do it. He's also really strong in the field. I saw him rob a home run. I was watching a game. He robbed somebody of a home run. I was like, dang. Like, all right, so he's playing center field. He's robbing home runs. You like to see that. But he's a weird case here because he signed quite some time ago. He played in rookie ball in 2018. And then he was hurt. He was hurt all of 2019. He did not play. And then we had the missed COVID year too, which set him back again. So he went from not playing at all from 2018 all the way to 2021. That's 3 years out of professional baseball. And in 2021, he only played at the complex as a 20-year-old. There was some, and I didn't pick up on this at all, like in the spring, but there was some reports on the backfields in the spring training that he was like flashing all five tools. And I found this out after I started digging in, after I'm watching, I'm like, dang, like this dude's really interesting. I think there's power, there's speed. He's got a good glove and center. I think all this kind of comes down to his contact skills and what kind of contact he makes. And that's going to be the determining factor of what kind of prospect Stanley Consuegra can be. The Mets have overall done a really good job of developing bats. So I'm going to kind of bank on it here and say that I think that this is a case where he will continue to develop. I think he's going to push up, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him in Double A before long. I don't think he sticks much longer in High A the way he's hitting. And then if that's the case and he continues to do what he's doing now in Double A as a 22-year-old, then I'm much, much more interested. I put him in my top 300, but I think if all clicks right, I think there's a top 100 prospect in here. Just because of the EVs he's put up, I'm like, holy cow, like that's insane numbers. He's keeping the strikeouts in check enough, and he's showing improved plate discipline where if the contact is decent, like if he's an average hitter, I think the tools really play up. So Stanley Consuegra, name to know in deep dynasty leagues, 2% rostered right now on Fantrax. Go out and get him in a deeper league.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll be able to get some live looks at him when he does get the Double A, because we play Double A Binghamton a good amount, so especially in the summer months. So hopefully I'll get to see him live. Yeah, definitely intriguing, and I think people are still kind of looking at last year's line, which was, you know, not bad, but you know, not really inspiring either. I think the price tag is still pretty cheap in dynasty leagues. My next guy is a guy that I've had my eye on for a little bit now, former Colorado Rockies prospect, now with the Cleveland Guardians. That's Juan Brito. Very interesting profile. It's not a sexy profile, but definitely very interesting. He's off to a pretty hot start so far. 350 OBP, not hitting for power, but you know, more. This have one home run, but in eight games, more walks and strikeouts. But you know, this is a guy that has a, like I said, a pretty fun profile. Hit tool is there. Like he's hit everywhere. Like, coming up, look at what he did last year in Low A, the California League with Fresno. 286, 407, 470 slash line, 29 doubles, 11 home runs, 17 steals, more walks and strikeouts. And he's now 177 games into his pro career and still has more walks and strikeouts, 115 to 111, 292 career average, 403 career OBP, 462 career slug. So only a 170 ISO, which is not terrible, but not great either. I don't know where he gets to in the power department. I mean, maybe, I mean, I got the hiccups here all of a sudden. Maybe he's a fringe average power guy at some point. Guy that, you know, maybe 15-ish home runs, and he's around an average runner. So maybe this is a guy that could get up in like that 12 to 15 homer, 12 to 15 steal range. But I think he's a guy that could hit, you know, top of the order, given his patient approach, gets on base. And if he does have a little bit, you know, a solid enough speed, a little bit of pop. I think he's got to hit lead off for number two. We'll see. But guy that's just still not really talked about a lot anywhere. Chris, you still have the tab of how rostered is Brito on Fantrax? I'd be willing to, I'm going to say maybe a little more. I'll say like 12%.
Let's see. I'm going to go under there. He is 3%. Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Even better. Okay. So, see, these guys we're talking about here. What was Consuegra?
Consuegra. He was at 2%. So,
okay. Right, so far, the names we've given you are what, 2, 3, 3, and 8 or whatever it was, something like that. It's all under 10% rostered. And hey, maybe they don't work out. I mean, but again, the churn and burn back end of the you know, your prospect roster here. If one of these guys sticks, man, great. You got him for free or very cheap. So Brito, again, not the super high upside guy, but I think this is a really solid profile that flies under the radar. And I think you could see him move fairly quickly through the Cleveland org. So Brito is my second name. Chris, who's your last name?
Yeah, I also want to note Brito's gotten much bigger. Like
he has,
his list height weight is if you look at it, is not accurate at all anymore. I just want to pull up and see what he is. He's listed at 5'11", 162. That's not the case anymore. I think he's like 6'2", probably. So he's one that he's a good call for sure. So I'm going with Ryan Clifford with the Astros. Now, this is a name that I wasn't like overly in on early in FYPDs. He was 11th round high school bat. He was a Vandy commit. And honestly, like, it didn't really click with me until like probably like December. I started really catching on. I was like, okay, like I was finding more on him. I was like, I really like what Ryan Clifford brings to the table. He's in low A. He was in low A last year as a, you know, prep bat coming out of the draft, which is pretty big. He's repeating low A right now, but I don't think he'll be there much longer. He's 19 years old. He's tearing it up right now. He's hitting 389 with 560 OBP. His slug is below the OBP, but when you're on base, you know, 56% of the time, like a 528 slug is fine. He's got a really good bat at ball distribution. It's a ton of line drives. His swing is geared for line drives and fly balls, which I love. He has just one home run, but he hits the ball really hard. Last year, as an 18-year-old, we saw him have a 90th percentile exit velocity of 104.5, which was highly encouraging. Really hits the ball hard. The contact was not great last year, but this year I think there's been some improvements with it. He's cut the strikeout rate a bit. He's walking 22% of the time. He's running a 212 WRC plus right now, which seems pretty notable. Ryan Clifford's actually the most rostered player that I've talked about. It's 6% on FanTrax, but his swing is so good. Like, I'm watching right now on Twitter, there's a Josh Norris got a nice side view of Ryan Clifford's swing, and he's got a frame that's just built for power. He's got a nice swing, bat to ball, lifts the ball well. He's listed 6'3", 200 pounds, as a 19-year-old. Dude, I think that he's going to well outperform an 11th round price tag that the Astros paid for him to keep him away from Vanderbilt. So I just looking for his age, like the tools are there. Like, he's talked about having a very high baseball IQ, which you love to see. I'm hoping he bumps to high A soon because he'll be in Asheville, which will be really close to here. I'll get some looks. Like, just imagining him added to this team that has Drew Gilbert and Jacob Melton and Joey Loperfido and Kennedy Corona. Like, this is a team I saw last week. And dude, Clifford just looks like a dude. I think he's going to be ready to join him soon. So I'd get in on Ryan Clifford. I think he's legit, and he's not rostered very many places.
Yeah, that's a fun offensive team right there, for sure. Going back real quick, I meant to mention this after Stanley Consuegra. Maybe it's just because I'm a dad, but anytime I hear the name Stanley, I think of the old... Do you know where I'm going with this, Chris?
And no, because I think of Stanley from The Office.
Okay, well, that too. But I think of the little car, the old car in Cars. Remember Stanley? Either the old 100 and whatever year old car. It was,
I forgot his name was Stanley.
Yeah, I always. Oh no, he's actually dead. There was a statue of him. That's what it was. There was the old girl car. I mean, and it was like, oh, Stanley. I always think of that from Cars. But yeah, Stanley from The Office as well. But what's Clifford rostered on FanTrax? All right, there we go. Another name. The last name here, which is my first name I thought of. We thought, like, hey, let's do a deeper kind of prospect sleeper episode or a segment here on the show. My first name I threw on the list, Samuel Basalo from the Baltimore Orioles. Currently a catcher, but I don't know if he sticks a catcher for one. He's got a good arm, you know, so-so defensively in general. Plus, they have some guy named Adley Rutschman on the team. I don't know if you heard of him. Only the best catcher in the game already. Guy that's going to make me win me a bet that I made, but anyway, Basalo, the bat is really good, especially the power. Like, this is going to be probably a zero in the speed department. And maybe I'm not saying he can't stick as like maybe a backup catcher / first base, but this is probably a guy that's a first base DH kind of profile. He's big. He's 6'3", 180. I don't believe the 180. I think he's probably closer to 190, 195, if I had to guess. Just speculating, though. But the power is absolutely – it's plus raw. Maybe – I wouldn't say double plus, but – if I did use a 65 grade, which I don't, you know, maybe you can put a 65, but not ready to go 70, but easily 60 grade raw power. Has 3 home runs this year in 50 plate appearances, three doubles as well, 583 slug, 250 ISO. But kind of the question is, where's the hit tool wind up at? But he's, I think he's making some strides in that department to the point where maybe he's not going to be, you know, got hits 280, but I think he could be around an average hit tool guy, maybe 250, 255, maybe 260 in that range. And I think this could be a 30 plus homer bat. And there's still a little bit of projection on that frame. He could add even more bulk. This is a name that's really, really on the rise. Obviously, Baltimore, one of the best all-around player development orgs in the game, especially on the hitting side of things. Look at all the good hitting prospects they have already up and more along the way. And he's another one that is probably not rostered in a lot of Fantrax leagues, though he might be over 10%. Is he over 10%, Chris?
I bet he's not. He might not. Up right now, 6%. God, we're all right in that range.
Boom, yeah, we're pretty, and we didn't really look these up. These are all honest, you know, live on the air lookups by Chris. So, yeah, that's another name under 10% rostered, and definitely so much breakout appeal in all these guys. And Basalos, if I pick one of my three names to go after, it'd be Sammy Basalos. I love the power bat, and I think he'll be at least a fringe average hit tool guy as well. So my three, Samuel Basalo, Juan Brito, and Nelson Rada. Chris's three, Lyon Richardson, Stanley Cosuegra, and Ryan Clifford. Six names to go out there and get in your dynasty league, especially if you're 250 plus prospects are rostered. This is kind of where I think where these guys kind of fall right now. A lot of fun names. That will wrap up this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out my Patreon and Chris's Substack for more work from both of us. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.